Praise God. You can remain standing. I want to pray for the church, the body of Christ tonight. I want to begin to lift up the church of the living God. We've just been singing, Your Grace is Enough, right? We've just been singing that, and I was thinking of a scripture I read today. It says this. It says, You have armed me with strength for the battle. You have armed me with, not you will arm, you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued my enemies under my feet. You placed my foot on their necks. Hallelujah. That's what the psalmist David said. Amen. And this is a psalm that he wrote when the Lord had given him victory over his enemies. And the Bible tells us that we have the victory in Christ, right? That we have the victory in Jesus. But we see in this hour how dark the hour is, how dark things are getting around us. We see, just a flood of evil around us constantly. I mean, you see it in, you hear it on the radio, you see it in television programs, you see it in advertisements. There's this flood that's been released in the last hour after the church, after the woman. Revelation talks about that. This flood that has been released, and it's after the church, after the woman. And that's you and me. That's the church of the living God, to silence our testimony, to get us to be quiet and to hamper down and to whimper away and to kind of fade into the background so evil can prevail in the land. But folks, I know my God has a testimony. He has an army. He said in the last days, he's going to have a people. Hallelujah. The Bible says those that stand in darkness will see a great light. And that light is the light of Christ through his church. Amen. But the scripture says the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers, that his people would begin to arise and stand for what they believe in, that they would not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, that they would indeed know that it is the power of God, hallelujah, to save, to deliver, to set free. And so, folks, I think it's time for the church to arise and to stand. Amen. I'm believing that politicians, Christian actors and actresses, Christian producers will begin to stand for Jesus Christ in this hour. Hallelujah. Will begin to stand for Christ and let it be known that they are Christian and that they believe in Jesus. Amen. Can we believe God tonight? Can we begin to pray for the church, that the church would arise? He says it right here. He says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers, that his people would stand for him, because the harvest is plentiful, folks. People are hungry. If I were to tell you the testimonies of young people that are flooding in, and it's not just because of the cross and the switchblade production. Young people are just flooding into this house. Our new believers class is jam-packed with young people that are coming to Christ. Not only that, but the Lord is pouring out his spirit. Young people are getting baptized in the Holy Ghost as they begin to gather together. Folks, this is something, there's a stirring that's happening in this hour. There's a stirring that's taking place, and my cry is that we would hear the cry. The Bible says to go out and meet the bridegroom, amen? To go out and meet him, for he's coming. Praise the Lord. Can we take a moment? Can we take 2-3 minutes and begin to lift our voice for the church? Begin to lift your voice for your brother and sister on the left, the right of you, that one in front of you, behind you, that we would stand for Jesus Christ, that we would not be afraid, that we would not be intimidated by the powers of darkness, that we would not be able to stay quiet. But like Jeremiah, the word that we get in our devotions would be like fire shut up in our bones. That we would have to open our mouths and begin to speak of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us. Folks, lift your voice all over this house. Every voice counts tonight. Begin to cry out to God in this hour. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that you hear us, God. You always hear us. Father, I thank you that you hear us, God. You said, God, that you will arise and scatter our enemies, God. You said, Lord, that now you will arise, God. You said for the oppression of the poor, for the sigh of the needy, you will arise, God, and you will set those in safety for which they long for, God. You said the set time for Zion is now. Jesus, you are a right here, right now kind of God. And we are crying out to you, God, that you would arise in the midst of us. You would arise in the midst of us and let the church be the church, Lord. I'm asking you tonight to dismantle hell. I'm asking you tonight to go into the foundations of hell and vanquish the enemy. Lord, I'm asking you, God, that, Lord, there will be freedom and liberty in this place so that the church will be the church once again, that they will stand upright with a compelling testimony, and those around us will have to reckon with the Christ in us. God, would you do something in this place tonight? We are asking you in the name of Jesus. We are asking you because there's power in Jesus' name. We are asking you to release deliverance and power over your church tonight. And I'm asking you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would open up heaven to us and that you would release captives tonight so that we could stand upright in a perverse and wicked generation and declare that Jesus Christ is alive. He's sitting on a throne above all power and authority. And God, I thank you that even now hell is in a panic, and we speak into the darkness, and we speak to you, devil, tonight, and we tell you to move back and loose your grip over the bride of Christ so that we can arise. You said now you will arise. You said the time is coming, and now is where the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear will live, and graves will open. And Lord, so I'm asking you, believing you, that even now, would you break the fear of man in this place tonight? Would you vanquish the enemy tonight? Would you break every argument? Would you break the weakness? Lord, that we would stand on our corners in the train. Lord, in the stars, God, go into the rooms of hell tonight and shake the devil up. Break every lie, God, that holds your church back. Let us see you and let us see ourselves in you. Lord, I thank you that you are asking us to ask tonight. And I thank you that you came to destroy the works of the enemy. Help us to talk of your goodness, of your power, that you would be magnified and glorified, so that you would be reckoned with in this generation. We thank you for it, and we praise you for it. Give the Lord thanks and praise tonight.
Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God, we come to you tonight. A name that is above all name, God. At the sound of your name, all knees would have to bow tonight. All affliction would have to bow tonight. You are the God who make the blind see. You're the God who make the deaf hear. You're the God who make the lame walk. And you're the God that raised the dead. Lord, you not only raised the physical dead, you raised the spiritual dead. Oh, God, we come to you tonight, Lord. We are nothing. Nothing is above your name, God. And as a sound of your name, all knees would bow and all tongue would confess, Lord. Lord, the devil might come in like a flood, but God, you're going to raise up a standard of healing, a standard of provision tonight, Lord. Oh, God, we come to a God who cannot fail, a God who is a God of miracles, God. Oh, God, you're not only willing, but you are able tonight, God. And I pray, God, that you'll put faith. Put faith in us tonight, Lord. A faith in a God that cannot fail tonight, God. A faith in a God who parted the Red Sea. A faith in a God who make Lazarus raise from the dead. Lord, and we thank you. All our dying situation, all our situation that we believe is dead, Lord, you can raise it tonight, Lord. All our hopes, all our dreams, you can raise it tonight, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you, God, because you're going to turn us around tonight, Lord. You will turn us around tonight, God. Oh, God, because we're going to have a faith in you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you, God. We look to you tonight, God. Let not the evil one rob us of our faith, Lord. Let us rob us of our health tonight, Lord. Lord, cancer, the common cold, God, that has to bow to us tonight. Healing is us for us tonight, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in our minds. You thank you for what you're going to do in our bodies tonight, Lord. We're going to walk out whole, not whole in our own self, but whole in you, God, because you're the one who's doing it tonight, Lord. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all you're going to do in and through us tonight. And Lord, and we give you praise now. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise tonight.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you praise, God. We give you thanks for the victory. We thank you for answered prayer, Lord. Lord, we come with an expectation, Lord, believing you to work miracles, oh God, to prove yourself, Lord, that men will know that you are indeed the Lord, that you are indeed the Savior, that you are the lover of their souls, that you are God. Hallelujah. We thank you tonight. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. You may be seated tonight.
God said, and I believe it. God said, and I believe it. Let's give him the praise. And amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Put your hands out and pray with me right now as we pray. Father, we ask that you anoint your word tonight. We ask that we receive from you, that we hear your voice, that our hearts are open to your word, that what you said, help us all to believe it and receive it. Let us receive from you tonight. God, let you speak, not man, not a person, not Ben Crandall, but let you speak from your word. And let us believe it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do. Let's see, how many have Bibles in here? Hold them up. Hold them way up high. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. And if so, the one next to you don't have one, let them look on with you. I want to read to you from Matthew's Gospel, the 6th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, starting at the 5th verse, reading down through the 15th verse. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Those prayers aren't answered. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do. They think they'll be heard for their much words. Therefore, do not be like them. Don't think that way. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. And when you pray in this manner, in this is the way you pray. Therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. To begin with, let me say that this, and it's repeated in the other synoptic gospels, this is the greatest instruction on prayer ever given. Ever in all the history of the world. Never anything greater than this. Never. Tell you why. This is Jesus Christ teaching on how to pray prayers that get answered. He begins with the negative, prayers that don't get answered. Then he gives us the prayers that get answered, how to pray. Jesus Christ was God in human form. This is God, God Almighty, came down. Jesus Christ was with God from the Word was within the beginning. It was with God in the beginning. He's always been there. And he came down, God's Son, the only Son, the only God, came down and took on a human form to talk with us, to live with us, and to reveal God to us. This, he was God in a human form. And God gave us this instruction on prayer. God did that. Isn't a man, isn't one of the apostles, isn't some great person, it's God Almighty. God came down and said, this is how you pray. This is how you pray. Because he said, don't pray like the heathens. Their prayers don't get answered. They pray to be seen and heard. He said, they don't get answered. And he says, don't think that when you pray, he just quickly, there's more in here than I can possibly cover tonight. But he said, don't think that you have to inform God. God happens to know everything. He said, so you don't need to have a prayer that informs God. He said, he knows everything in the world. He knows every thought that every person says. He knows everything about you. You don't even could possibly know yourself nor me, us ourselves like God knows us. He really knows us. And God said, this is how you pray. If you want answers, this is how you pray. And there are qualities in this prayer and guidelines in this prayer that when you stay in this, there's your prayers get answered. Outside of that, you run the risk of them not, they don't get answered. You notice the first word in the prayer. Notice word number one, our Father. It didn't say my Father. He said, not my Father. No, he didn't say that's how you pray. He said, you pray our Father, which art in heaven. And then he goes on, hallowed be worship, your kingdom. Hallowed be your name, reverence. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, your will on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done in my life, your will, totally your will. Give us, not me, give us this day our daily bread, not give me my daily bread. And forgive us our sins, not forgive my sins, as we forgive others. Do not lead me into temptation. No, do not lead us into temptations. Deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Number one, the word I or me never appears in this prayer. Never. Never said I. It's not permitted. It's our. It's our Father. Now, this is God teaching us. It's not Ben Crandall. I need this as much as you, so don't look at me and say, there's the guy that really knows. No, no, no. I have the problem just as much as you do. I have prayed far too many Ben Crandall prayers. I'm guilty. So I'm talking to myself, not just telling you. This applies to me as well as you, and I've been probably more guilty than many of making it I and me and my personal. I am more important than other people. No, Ben Crandall has to come down and say, it's us and we. I am part of the family. When you get saved, you became part of a family. You were born a child of God. You are now a member of the family. And as a family member, you have got to put the family above yourself. You know, it's got quiet in here all of a sudden. All of a sudden, everything shouts all left us here. Please, once in a while, say praise God or say oh my or something. Yes. You're a part of the family. And John, and because of that, you have to love the family. You got to become part of the family, attached. You are a member of the body of Christ. You're part of His family. Jesus, in the 13th chapter of John and in the 15th chapter, He tells them both, He commands them. And this new commandment I leave with you, you shall love each other, love one another as I have loved you. He says, it's a command. He said, this is not just something nice to do. Loving your brother and your sister in Christ is not just something nice. It is nice, but it's more than nice. It's a command. He said, love, love. The family's got to love. I've got to love more. Love not so much myself, because God will take care of me. If I take care and love you, God knows my needs. He wants people that are part of the family. And this family that you were born into, this relationship lasts for eternity. Your brothers and sisters is just for a few years. Your husband and your wife is a few years. But now you are my brother for eternity. Forever. And it says love. No greater love than this in John, in the 15th chapter. He says, no greater love than anyone has than this, that he lays down his life for the brethren. You got to love your brothers as much as yourself. The first great commandment, love God with all your mind, heart, soul, and spirit. All of your mind. Love God. That's why the first part is all about the kingdom. Love God most with all your mind, all your heart, more than yourself. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now that you're saved, you've got to love the brother and the sister more than neighbor. All of this Bible teaches this. All of the New Testament teaches now that we're saved. And now that we're born into His kingdom, we have to have a love for our brothers and sisters that's beyond personal love. That we love the body of Christ more than ourselves. Because we're part of it. And the body is more important than the individual. See, America is all the great individual, the great I. No. Not in the kingdom. Not in the kingdom. The body of Christ is more important than Ben Crandall. The body of Christ, the family of God, is more important than any one individual. That's why he never allows you to pray that kind of a selfish prayer. Now, when you begin to pray prayers for others and prayer for the kingdom, and you are part of that, then faith rises in you for your own needs. He knows those needs. It's not that he says he's not going to take care of them, but you've got to see that your prayer life and your kingdom is not personally self-centered. It won't get you there. It won't bring the answers that you want. I didn't write this, folks. This is God Almighty's word. He never once used the pronoun. Never once. It's not in there. And who has the right to add something that God didn't put? Who can add something to the book that God doesn't put in there? Jesus Christ wrote this prayer. Jesus Christ wrote that. He was God Almighty. Now, when you begin to see it, and you're part of a body, we took the Lord's Supper tonight. We took it. I kept a piece. See, when Jesus gave the Lord's Supper, he said, he prayed and he broke the bread. And he said, "This is my body. Eat it and become part of my body." Did you realize that you now, you've taken it. That's why we can't break it, because we're so many. We can't get a piece of bread to break for 1,000, 2,000 people. There's no piece of bread that big. So we do this now. But when there was 12 people and it was a small, he broke the bread. Broken. It's a broken body. And he gave them each a piece. And he says, "Now you're eating my body." Paul takes great pains. It's mentioned over and over in his epistles, but especially in his 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says, "You are members of the body of Christ. You are a member of his body. You are part of a body. You do not solo to heaven. You don't solo to heaven. You don't go to heaven by yourself. You can't do that. You are now part of a body. You have been baptized," Paul said, "by one Spirit. You were baptized. When you were baptized, you were baptized into Jesus Christ, and you are now part of his body. You're taking him on. You've identified. Now we're physically eating his body, and we're becoming his body. There's no end of, there's no ever, God help me tonight. Help me to give your word. Help me, Jesus. Help us." You see, there's never a person like you again. Never has been, never will be. God called you. God saved you. And he has a plan, an absolute personal plan for you. And he wants you to be a part. You are a part of that body. You must function in that. Part of the family is love and serving each other. But functioning, the body is so connected. You are part of it. And you must connect to the body. You must be connect in the choir, connect some words, connect with prayer, connect with the body of Christ. And God will connect us. And we're working hard on the making a large church small, because we've got to be able to connect and to touch and to care about every single person, because everybody is part of the body. You're important. If you're in this family, you are important. There'll never be another you. You are unique. find out. Now you're part of it, part of this body. Now as you're part of this body, his life flows through you. And as you function in that capacity, your faith will reach out and God will bless you, and you'll become to function and become what nobody else can ever be what you are. A great preacher had a wonderful church in Canada, and I heard him tell the story. He said he had two men in his church that worked at one big plant. One of them had a real small job, and the other one was a great big job in the same company. Both of them part of his church. He said the man that had the small job hurt his foot, his big toe in the factory, and almost lost it. And he went to the hospital. It was hurting him so bad. And he said to the doctor, "Just cut it off. It's killing me. I can't stand it. Please, just cut my toe off." Oh, the doctor stops and says, "Oh, no, we can't do that. Your big toe is important to your body. That helps you to walk. That's part of your balance. That gives you the strength. That's a big part of your foot. You need that big toe. You've got to have it." "No, no, we've got to save that toe." I said, "All right, save my toe." And he operated on him, and he got so blessed he came back. He said, "While I was there, God spoke to me and said, I'm a part of the body of Christ, and I'm the big toe, and I'm a big toe in the shoe, and I thank you, Jesus." And while he was there, then the other man got hurt. The big man and the big boss in the place got hurt, and he hurt his little toe. And he went to the hospital, and he said the same thing, "Cut that little toe off." And the doctor said, "Oh, no, 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 just hold it now. We can't cut that little toe off." Said, "That little toe is on the outside, and it helps you balance. You need that little toe. We can't cut that off. We've got to save it." Well, he said, "Save my little toe." And he got up in church crying. He says, "And God showed me I'm the little toe." He was the big man in the church. He was the little toe. He said, "I'm a little toe in the body of Christ." The little man was the big toe in the body, and the big man was the little toe. They didn't hear each other, but all the audience heard it. But whatever you are, you're important to the body. You're part of it. You are important in the body of Christ. Get away from this business of just individual. When you pray prayers that are really part of it, when you realize I'm part of the whole, I'm part of the body of Christ, and you begin to pray for other people and seek God for the body and serve, your needs, faith for your needs will come. Your needs will get answered. Like when I was praying for a car, I had a few dollars. I was praying for a car, and I was praying not that I could use it, that I could go pick up these people. Now, I just heard from the girl I was picking up, her husband. She was a very poor girl. And my wife and I would go and pick up several children Sunday morning. We'd pick up these young people. They didn't have any way to get to church, live a long way. So I was praying for this car to go pick up these people. And I'm praying for a used car, humble, praying, "God, give me a good car. Don't have much money. Let it be good. Let it be." God said, "I can give you a new car, not for me, but because you're using it for the kingdom, because you want to go get people with it. Now I'm involved in this prayer. Now I'll give you a new car." Faith came into me for a new car. A few days ago, I told my wife, I said, "God just spoke to me. He's going to give us a new car." She looked at me like, "You've been fasting too long. We don't have money for a new car." And a few days, a man came in. We were sitting down together. All of a sudden, he said, "Say, you need a new car." I said, "Amen. I do." He said, "I'm the man to give it to you." That was in the war. You couldn't buy them. He said, "I was just issued a new car. I'm giving you that new car." Praise God. And he did. Because I wasn't praying for myself. I was praying for myself, but it was for him. I was serving him. You see, then the prayer gets answered. Praise God. It's when you pray unselfish prayers, when you're praying prayers that are humble. Now, the next point that I want to make is that not only we're a family, and you're always part of the family, and that's the prayer. a family's prayer, and a brother and a sister's prayer, and a body, part of the body. The next thing I want you to notice is this. Got to hurry. Give us this day our daily bread. Very humble prayer. Don't make me rich. Don't give me billions and millions. Don't give me the biggest place, the best. No. Give us, not even me, no me. Give us our daily bread, our necessities, just what we have to have. Humble, very humble prayer. Very humble prayer. The key, listen, Jesus Christ was the humblest man that ever stood on planet Earth. Don't ever forget that. Jesus Christ was the humblest man that ever put his foot on this earth. Nobody has ever been as humble as he was. He came from heaven, born in a stable, had no home. A man was going to follow him. A young man came and said, I'll follow you. I love you. I'll follow you. He said, young man, birds have nests. Foxes have holes in the ground. I don't have a place to lay my head. I own nothing. Nothing. I don't have any home. I don't have any place. He humbled himself to take the filth, the sins of the world on himself. Humble. Never a man. Satan is the proudest. People follow Satan. Satan is the proudest. Jesus, the humblest. Always watch out that you go with the humble. Satan is proud. Always giving you pride. Pride. Lift you up. Lift you up. Just here. Just there. Resist it. Resist pride. Embrace humility. When you pray humble prayers, they get answered. We were building a church, and we got it built. And the way we got the land to build the church is it's in 7th Avenue and 64th Street over in Bay Ridge in Brooklyn. Church that we built. We were in a two stores we converted on McDonald Avenue. How many know? Anybody know McDonald Avenue in here? Anybody ever been to McDonald Avenue? We were in Brooklyn, Borough Park. Anybody ever been to Borough Park in this order? Yes. Borough Park in Brooklyn. You know where Borough Park is. I know. Yeah. You know, 18th Avenue and McDonald Avenue. Well, it was between 18th and Avenue F. We had two stores. We put them together. It had been an A&P, and we converted it into a church, and it was full. And I'm praying for God to give us land to build a church because we've outgrown it. While I'm praying for my mother-in-law, now listen, folks talk about mother-in-law. My mother-in-law and I were terrific, close. So all mother-in-laws aren't bad. Mine was incredible. I loved her. She was great. Amen. And I was praying for her. She was critically ill, and I was fasting and praying for her. And while I'm praying for her, not even praying for that land, God spoke to me, and faith came into me and said, I will give you the land for the church. I'll give it to you. And he told me the man in our church that owned this lot on 7th Avenue, he owned that land, he owned the whole block, 7th Avenue on 64th Street from 7th all the way down to the next block. And he said, I'll give you the land there. I'll give you that corner. Well, how do you tell a man in your church that he's going to give you the land? So we were talking, and I said, God, we're discussing it, and finally, he said to me, I'm going to give that to the church. He said, I was going to retire with it, but God just spoke to me to give that to the church. Took a pencil and drew a piece off, and there's several buildings on it. He said, I was going to retire with this land, but I'm going to give it to the church, worth $1 million or so, maybe $1 million. And because I was praying for my mother-in-law to get healed, I had faith came into me for the needs of the church. I'm praying an unselfish prayer, praying a humble prayer, praying for needs that, and God puts that faith into you. So we got the church built, and now we got to pay for it. We're a small, we're humble people, not anybody with any great wealth in the church now. And we're trying to pay for this place, and we can't hardly make the payments on the mortgage. And I'm praying, and God said to me, I want you to give everything you have. Now, I'd gone to my mother. She had a little house in Connecticut, and I'd raised the mortgage on her house. I'd taken a loan out in the bank, and we had given that, personal loan. And now my father-in-law had given me some land to build a house. We had two children, and so the church wasn't able to do anything great for us. We had a good living. That was it. And so he gave me this land. My brother, who was a construction man, we gave him some money, and he built me a house. And I sold the house and took the money, and I was going to buy a two-family house to have an income when I retired. And God says, take that money, all that you have, everything, and give it to the church. If you want me to pay for the church, give me what you've got. Now, it's easy to tell the story, but it's altogether different when you do it, you know. So I went to my wife. I went to Jean. I said, Jean, God has said to us to give it all. Give up everything. And instead of buying the two-family house, give the money to the church. She said, are you sure? Are you sure God wants us to? I said, I'm sure. She said, then we have to do it. Now, that was one of the smartest things I ever did. Because immediately, I had faith now. See? Now I had faith. I went back to Connecticut and bought a beautiful place with absolutely no money. Bought the place. Some folks loaned me money, paid for it, sold two houses, a summer house and three houses, a summer house, a beautiful home owned by a multimillionaire, and a small house on it. And faith came into me, and God gave me that place. Incredible story. I won't take time. And we rented the big place out, had a summer place. It paid for it. I had no money in it. I had faith. See, Jesus said, whatever you give to me. See, he said, Peter, if whatever gives houses, lands, mother, sister, brothers, whatever you give up for God, he says, hey, I'll give you many times in this life. See, I didn't ask for that. When you give up, see, when you give, then you have faith, then God can answer. So then when I was president-elected of what was then Zion Bible Institute, today it's North Point Bible College, I was elected president, and God said, now what we did with that little house that you sold, the little house and paid the place off, and I gave it to you, now we'll do it for millions. And we bought the Barrington College campus. No money. See, I'm used to buying things with no money because I have done that. See, we bought that place for several millions of dollars. God gave it to us. Incredible. Praise God. Today they have a big campus worth millions and millions and millions. You see, it didn't come from me. They sold it, and then David Green of Hobby Lobby gave them another great campus. So listen, folks, let me tell you something. When you humble yourself and do what he says, he lifts you up. You lift yourself up, he'll put you down. He said, he that exalts himself, I will abase. And when God abases you, you're abased. He said, if you will humble yourself under the hand of God, he will lift you up. He'll do more than you can ask. Hallelujah. So the secret is in this prayer. It's a humble prayer. Humble prayer. You pray humble prayers. You live a humble life in God. You do what he says. You serve humbly. And then he lifts you up. Then he blesses you. Then he gives to you what you need. But you have to walk with him. Jesus Christ is humble. He taught us a humble prayer. And when you give, walk humbly, he does more than you can ask. Now, he humbled himself to die on the cross. He is going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords for eternity. God is going to lift him up, and he will. And he's coming back King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he went down. He went down. Before you go up, you go down. You go down before the Lord. Then he does that. He does the lifting up. He is the one that will bless you when you come down. Now, I've got to hurry. Look, I've got 2 minutes. One last great point. There's much more, but I'm just going to take one more point. Forgive us our sins or our trespasses, our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Jesus lectures on that point at the end. He says, if you don't forgive, I will not forgive you. If you will forgive, I will forgive you. The measure of your forgiveness is the measure that you will receive forgiveness. The measure that you... Folks, I didn't write this. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Words of Jesus, God Almighty speaking. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You will be forgiven. He says daily, he prayed, this prayer you need to pray every day. Forgive us our sins. We're making mistakes every day. You've got to be forgiving. Now, some of you have big things to forgive. I had some sizable things to forgive too. All of us do. You live in this world, you're going to have reason. But some of you have really big things to forgive. My father left my mother with 6 little children. We had to forgive him. And some of you have been wrong physically, and you have to forgive. Now, how do you do that? How can I do? I can't. I have to be willing and ask him, give me your forgiveness. Because I can't forgive without his help. How many feel that way in here? Don't have it in me. Not capable of forgiving totally, totally forgiveness, total forgiveness. Every day, total, total forgiveness, that I might receive total forgiveness. Total forgiveness. Because more people's prayers are not answered. This is on prayer. This is Jesus talking about praying. More people's prayers get hindered at that point than perhaps any other one. That's why he lectures on that more at the end. That's probably the largest of all of the hindrances to mighty prayers being prayed. Have to have absolute forgiveness. Man just cut me off the other day. Boy, I just felt like going after him with my car, you know. The Lord said, hey, forgive. 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 So when the day ends, forgive everybody. Before you close your eyes tonight, have the slate clean. Brings your prayer through. Unforgiveness hinders. Pray humble prayers. Pray in the body. Pray collective love. Be part of the body. Pray with the body. Live it. Absorb this prayer. Absorb the spirit of this prayer. That your prayers can go powerful. I need it as much as you. So he says, look, he was talking. It was difficult. No, Ben Crandall has to have this just like you. I have prayed too many selfish prayers. I've prayed too many wrong prayers. I've got to pray prayers that go through to touch the hem of his garment. Like the woman that crawled under and touched his garment in humility. And it's humbled. And I'm all finished with this, but there's more to be said. Because it was the kingdom. He's what's important. Love God with all your heart. Your neighbor is yourself. That's what this prayer is all about. Loving God, being part of the body, part of the family, really functioning is part of it. Burden, praying for the others, caring for the people, care for the needy, care for them. Take the burden and your needs will become before God. He knows your needs and your faith will reach out and my faith will reach up. Our faith will reach up and bring down the great things. It's limitless when we get into this. The power of prayer from a humble vessel is limitless, limitless, limitless. All that heaven has is available. You have to come on his terms, his way. God wrote the prescription for prayer that wins. Praise God. And it'll win every time. Follow his word. Take it to heart. There's so much to be said. And so much that God wants to do with your life and through you and bring you into the fellowship that we will see the great things that need to be done in his kingdom, in our family, in our personal family. And he knows every need that you have. And tonight, let's pray the prayers that he wants us to pray. God bless you. Amen.
Let's stand together all over the house. We've heard from the Lord. I think tonight, if the Lord's been speaking to you about a certain thing that you need to yield to him, something that's off kilter, you surrender that thing to him tonight. You yield it to him. You just say yes to him tonight. As we're just going to close in worship. But as we do that, wherever you are, whatever your need is, whatever God's spoken to you about tonight, you go ahead and yield that to him. You go ahead and surrender that to him. If you need cleansing tonight, you ask him for that and allow him to do that work in you tonight. Amen. It's been an incredible night in the house. Thank God for his word, a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, so that we continue to see God move and answer prayer. Like never before. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking so powerfully, so mightily to us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for loving us, Lord, so much that you would speak again so tenderly to our hearts. Lord, wooing us, drawing us to that place, Lord, of being united with you, Lord, in all things, so that our prayers can be answered. God, we honor you and we thank you for this. We surrender to you tonight. We yield to you tonight. We say yes to you tonight. Lord, yes to you tonight in every area. Lord, in everything, we say yes to you tonight. Lord, we open our hands and we say take whatever needs to be taken out of our hands, out of our lives. Lord, everything that has to go, remove it tonight. Remove it tonight in the name of Jesus. So that your kingdom, your purposes, Lord, will be fulfilled in this earth. Use us for your glory continually. God, we thank you and we believe you for answered prayer in the days ahead. That nothing will be impossible to us, oh God. Lord, as we trust you and as we continue to yield and surrender and agree with you. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. We're going to go with one more song, and as we do, worship him, encourage somebody in the name of the Lord as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.